Wow. So today we're going to attack this fear. I'm going to be talking about having the faith to love. Having the faith to love. Faith to love. Now, Andre and Mike would.
Bless you, sir.
Sing that song. Having the faith to love. That's my iPad. All right, a few weeks ago, I made a point. I shared a truth that I believe God was speaking to me about, and speaking to the church about, giving us this revelation that we ought to believe in people. The Bible says that in Matthew chapter 22, the greatest commandment is for us to love God with all of our heart, all of our souls, all of our strengths. That is the greatest commandment that every Christian has, to learn to love God with everything they have. And then he said the second is equal with the first. And that was to love your neighbor, or love people, as you love yourself. And so as I just began to meditate on that, I said, Lord, all right, so you want us to learn how to love you and love everybody. And many of us, it doesn't take rocket science just to figure out that it's hard to love some people. Right? And so, okay, God, you want me to love people, but then we first have to learn to love you before we learn to do that. So I began to say, well, God, how do we learn to love? Well, God said, well, how did you first learn to love me? And I said, well, I believed in you first. So I needed to have faith in God in order to learn to love him. I can't learn to love somebody until I first have a relationship with them, and in order for me to enter into a relationship with them, I gotta first believe that this relationship is safe. I have to feel like it's someone I can speak to. How about, for example, my wife. Before I met Shanique, I knew nothing about her. I didn't know her name. I didn't know where she lived. I knew nothing about her. But when I first saw her, there was something about her that I said, I want to get to know her. Over time, as I began to enter into this relationship by faith, watch this. I entered into this relationship by faith, not knowing anything about her, but I was willing to get to know her. And that meant I had to be willing to let my guards down. I had to be willing to speak to her just to feel her out. And the more I spoke to her, the more I opened up to her. And we entered deeper into our relationship, from friendship to love. And from love, now we're in marriage. Now we're in love, and we love each other. And now we've grown to this covenant where we are learning to now lay down our lives for one another. All right? And the process of the love that I entered into with my wife, it started with me first believing in her, that she had something that I wanted to grow into. There was something about her that I wanted. There's millions of women in the world, but there's only one woman that I'm in covenant with, because I believe in her enough to say there's something about her that I know I need in my life, and I chose to marry her and no one else. But all of that started because I had to believe in her. You see, you just don't get into covenant and marriage with anybody, right? Neither do you get into friendships with everybody, because you have to first learn to trust that person. So God would begin to show me, he says, the same way you learn to love me by believing in me, you have to first learn to love people by believing in people. So faith is the building block of love. I can't love somebody unless I believe in them, that I believe it's safe, that I believe that I can trust this person, you know? As I wrote on Twitter the other day, I said, love begins with faith, but ends in trust. Love begins with faith and ends in trust. Because I first believe enough in my wife that, you know, there's something there. But let's just say, for whatever reason, we were in our relationship, and she did something that I felt, you know what, I can't trust her anymore. Guess what happens? That's the end of the relationship. So love begins with faith and ends in trust. The same thing with God. We get into relationship by believing in him, but guess what? I have to stay in faith. I have to trust the Lord. I have to know his nature, know his character enough to be able to trust him with my life. Just like I have to trust my wife enough with my life. And God wants us to move to a place where we can all learn to have faith in each other, even when people don't deserve it. When we go back to the text, 1 John chapter 4, let's look at verse 18. There is no fear in love. Now, how important is love? Well, for starters, this was Jesus' command to us. This is one of the only commands Jesus actually gave us in the New Testament. He commanded us to love one another. It's not an option for you as a Christian. I really believe that love is the sign of maturity in a Christian's life. Not how much tongues you can speak, not how much you can prophesy, not how much people you can heal when you pray for them. All those things is what we love. We've been talking about the supernatural. We've seen God do supernatural things in this ministry. But you have got to understand that you can do all of those things and not make it into the kingdom. Do you remember one day Jesus said to some of his apostles that on the day of judgment, there was going to be some people who stand before the Lord who said, Lord, we cast out devils in your name, and we prophesied in your name, we healed the sick in your name. But Jesus will say, depart from me, for I never what? Knew you. And that's when I realized there's only one thing more important than knowing God in this life. It's him knowing you. Him knowing you is more important than you knowing him. You know, today on the internet, everybody has Facebook profiles. And I run into a couple of people who know more about me than I know about them. They know about you through your Facebook profiles, what you write, your status, whatever it is that you know. I'm like, oh yeah, I know I saw you at you was at so-and-so. You was at the ice skating rink last week. Like, how do you know? Yeah. He was on Facebook. All right, so people know about you, but then you don't know them. And I realized, like, you know, you can read the Bible and read stuff about Jesus and know stuff about God, but that doesn't mean he knows you. Because the way God begins to know you is by you getting into an intimate relationship with him. It's by you opening up your heart and being transparent before God. Now, how, if God is all-knowing, how does he not know you? If he's omniscient and knows all things, how can he actually say to somebody, depart from me, I never knew you? And I realized that the Bible says God is a knower of the hearts. In other words, if you refuse to open up your heart to the Lord and allow him to come in, he will respect your decision enough. If you don't want him to know certain things about you, he will pretend like he doesn't know it. It's just like when Adam and Eve sinned, and after Adam sinned, and the Bible says they were hiding, then God came out and said, Adam, where are you? Right. You think God really didn't know where he was? God respects your decisions. He honors your choices. So this is why when a person says, well, God, I don't believe in you, and then they will get mad at God for not opening up certain opportunities for them, it's not that he doesn't want to he doesn't want to overstep his boundaries, so to speak. Isn't that, I'm blown away by the humility of God. That God, who can do whatever he wants at any given point in the universe, will still be humble enough to respect our decisions, to sin and to ignore him and to run from him. But even in that, in his grace, he still finds ways to try to woo us back to him. Find ways to open us up to once again say, you know what, I know you're hiding, Jonah, but I'm going to put you in the belly of a whale. And hopefully in the whale's mouth, you're going to open up to me.
I'm going to make a face.
His extraordinary love for us. I'm telling you, this is why in verse 18 we can say there is no fear when it comes to love with God. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. So John begins to tell us, I cannot learn to love someone if I'm in fear. Neither can I learn to love God with fear in my heart. Because what's the opposite of faith? Fear. If faith is the entrance to love, and I'm in fear, then that means I can't ever learn to love if I'm in fear. Why would I be afraid to love? Why are we afraid to love? Why is fear and love even in this? Why is there this mixture anyway? Where did this come from? What is there to be afraid about love? Who can tell me? Why is love a fearful thing?
Getting hurt.
Getting hurt. All right.
Disappointment.
Being disappointed. So we're afraid to open up, because what do I need to love? I need faith. So I'm afraid to believe in something. I'm afraid to believe enough in this relationship that if I open up my heart to this person, or open up my heart to God or to whoever else, I'm afraid that there is the possibility that I can be hurt and I can be disappointed. So that's what the fear is. So the fear is really rooted in us protecting ourselves from being hurt. So we put up these walls and we put up these boundaries to love, but so much. We will love, but we will go to certain extents because I don't want to be hurt again, right? More than likely even hurt before. And I've realized it's something about faith. It's something about love. There's something about learning how to just believe again in love, even after you've been hurt, that God rewards. Because it's almost as if it's impossible to love without being hurt. It's like love is spelled R-I-S-K. You, in order to love, you gotta take a risk of being hurt. Let me show you another scripture. Look at Luke chapter 17. Watch this. Luke 17. I want you to know, if you've been hurt through love before, join the club. All right? Join the club. If you're going to love, you're going to risk getting hurt. But watch what Jesus tells his disciples. Jesus didn't ignore that reality. Watch this, verse 1. Then said he to his disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he trespasses against thee 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, you should forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So when we go back to verse 1, Jesus said, it's impossible that you're going to go through life without being hurt, without being offended. This is the same Jesus who said, if you can believe, all things are possible. But he then tells us here, it's impossible that you're going to go through life without being hurt. So it was one impossibility Jesus mentioned that we were all going to experience. We're going to get hurt when we learn to love people. People are going to let us down. So it's what I've learned is, it's not so much escaping or avoiding the possibility of getting hurt. It's learning how to deal with it and how to rebound from it. Come on. Because in order for me to grow up into the likeness of Christ, I have to learn how to overcome offenses and hurts. Jesus talks a lot about it. We don't have time to go through everything he said about it, but he teaches us a lot on how to learn how to deal with it. You got to have a tough skin. Love is not for the faint at heart. If you're going to experience the joy of love, you gotta be willing to take a risk. Come on. And I realized the greatest joys in life all require some risks. Come on. You're gonna be wealthy in life, you gotta take risks. Just friendships. I have friends who hurt me on a basic level. But it's like Christ is saying, look what he says. Take heed to yourselves. If somebody trespasses against you, rebuke him, or which means correct him. And if he repents, forgive him. So number one way I deal with it, if somebody hurts me, I can go and correct them. And the Bible says, if he repents and says he apologizes, he's sorry, he or she, and they correct it wrong. The Bible says you have a responsibility to what?
Forgive
them. And what if they do it again? If he trespasses again, 7 times in a day. 7 times in a day is a lot. Seven times in a day, 1 time for each day of the week. Jesus says, repent. If he repents, you should forgive him. I love verse 5 though. Look what the apostles then said. Lord,
increase our faith.
Even the apostles walked with Jesus for 3 years, still had a problem with that one, this one area. And notice their answer. It wasn't increase our love. Increase our faith. Right? Because once again, we start with faith in order to grow in love. The Bible says in Galatians 5, faith is expressed through love. So they said increase our faith. Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you might say to the sycamore tree, be plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the seed, and it should obey you. In other words, what Jesus was saying, there is a connection between your power and your love. Your ability, the Bible says, to speak to situations and it obeys you. Your authority on earth is going to be directly connected to your ability to love people. Your ability to forgive people. It's almost as if when we grow in faith, we'll ultimately grow in love. And when we grow in love, we'll also grow in our faith. The two go hand in hand. If we want to grow up in the supernatural things of God and see God do greater works in our lives, we have got to get this core principle down to learn how to love even when people don't deserve it. Why? Because the Bible says, as he loved us, so I want you to love others. Because when we focus now on ourselves and we realize how we've treated God, we realize that we've hurt him 7 times in a day. Or more. And he's ready to forgive us every time we repent. Every time we ask for forgiveness. Come on. Who are any honest people in here? So if God is so generous in his grace towards us, and his grace is abounding to us, and he's willing to love us even despite of our shortcomings, there's something about when we can demonstrate that same love back to people. Amen? So let's go back to 1 John. First John chapter 4. So what am I supposed to do with this? Verse 18. There is no fear in love. So you guys said, well, I don't want to love because I don't want to be hurt. So we're going to use fear as our security? Are we going to hide behind fear to keep us safe? I don't want to be hurt again, Ryan, so I'm not going to enter into another relationship. Is fear going to keep you safe? In the world, fear and security goes hand in hand. Because when we're afraid, we put ADT in our house. We put iron bars on a window. We trap ourselves in so that nothing can come in. And there's two sides of that. Because I can let stuff won't come in, but guess what? I can't get out. You know the safest place in the world? And the safest place in society is this place in prison. Maximum security. You know, in the jail cells, there's jail, and then there's maximum security. That's the safest place in the jail. Maximum security. Well, who's behind there? The most dangerous criminal. But he's safe. Nobody can get in, and he can't get out. And I feel like when we allow our lives to be dictated by fear, we put up all these bars, we put up all these walls, we put up all these protections that we say, no, nobody's going to get in, nobody's going to hurt me again. But then again, I can never experience anything else in life because now my fear is dictating the course of my life. So I can't go in and have healthy relationships anymore. I can't go in and find a good man or a good woman anymore because I'm so afraid of getting hurt. So not only am I protecting anything from coming in, I'm not able to experience anything else that life has to offer. It was a catch 22. Either I'm going to let the walls down, I'm going to forgive, I'm going to let it all go, I'm going to let the perfect love of God cast out this fear, I'm going to let God's love protect me, I'm going to let God's love secure me, I'm going to let God's love be the overwhelming to such an extent that I'll be moved with compassion and I'll learn to love radically. And that means even if I get offended, I'm going to learn how to just dust it off. I'm going to learn to shake it off and I'm going to keep loving. Because when I learn to love, that's how I maintain my freedom. The more I fear, the more imprisoned I am. I'm in bondage when I can't love. If maturity is reflected in how much I'm able to love, immaturity is reflected in how much I hide from love. If I can't love, I'm in bondage to fear. And the Bible says there is no fear in love. Now, as I close, once again, some of you say, well, you don't know how much I've been hurt. You don't know how much I've been let down. You don't know how much I've been disappointed. And guess what? People will disappoint you. But my job is to direct you to the source of love from our Father in heaven who will never hurt us, who will never let us down. His love is perfect, the Bible says. The perfect love. And when you receive God's perfect love, you allow that to wash over your heart and heal that broken heart. The Bible says that He will empower you. And I want you to listen with your heart. He will empower you to love again. He will empower you to have faith again, to enter into relationships, to be able to live a healthy life, to be able to experience life in abundance again. No matter what happened, no matter what shortcoming, no matter who let you down, we can rest assured that God's perfect love will never let us down. And if we keep our faith up in Him, He will never let us down. That is the life of the Christian. Loving people is going to be the most challenging thing we do. But it's going to be the most rewarding. Final thing, though, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about this love. He said, do you know that the wealthiest person in heaven is the most loving person? Starting with me. God says, the most love is the wealth of heaven. Mm-hmm. Wealth is not measured by money in heaven. It's measured by love. The most wealthiest person in heaven is the most loving person. The more you learn to love, the wealthier you become in the realm of the Spirit. And you will always have something to offer. When you walk in love, you don't need money to change the world. Your love can do it. Love is greater than money. It's better than money. Come on, you are wealthy in love. You have an abundance of heaven's resources at your disposal when you learn to love. This is why God needs you to be filled with compassion to such a degree that you will walk up to a person and they may be struggling with a sickness in their body, and God's love will flow through you so much degree. Say, silver and gold have I none, but that which I do have, I give to you. Rise and be healed. Hallelujah. And you will see the supernatural power of God flow through a person's life. Do you know that there are dimensions of love? That's why Jesus said, you should know the length, the breadth, the width, the depth of his love for you. And to know this love that passes understanding. That you might be filled with the what? The fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19. You are filled with the fullness of God, the power of God, when you learn to walk in this great love. Because God's love has origins in heaven. It doesn't start on the earth. It starts in heaven and it flows through you. When you become a vessel that God's love can flow through you, you become a literal conduit of heaven's resources. That God will see to it, like, this guy's mature enough. He's able to handle the grace that I want to bestow on him. That love can flow through you, Minister Judy, and you will be able to see God reach through you to somebody else. I'm telling you. So verse 18, once again, there is no fear in love. Perfect love, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. So if God doesn't want you to fear, who wants you to fear? Who wants you to be afraid? The devil. God does not give you a spirit of fear, but he gives you a spirit of what? Love. Power and a sound mind. See, the love precedes the power. Don't rush to the power yet. It gives you the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. So why don't we see more power in our churches? Why don't we see God move in supernatural ways? It starts in love. And how do we get to love? I gotta get rid of the fear. People hurt you. How many of you been hurt by love before? All right? That's you. I want you to say with me. Say, I let go.
I let go.
Of the hurt.
Of the hurt.
I let go.
I let go.
Of the fear.
Of the fear.
And I embrace.
And I embrace.
A new freedom,
a new freedom
to love again.
To love again.
Let's say that again. I let go,
I let go
of the fear.
Of the fear.
I let go,
I let go
of the hurt.
Of the hurt.
And I open up myself,
and I open up myself
to embrace a new freedom.
To embrace a new freedom.
To love again.
To love again.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah, wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, I just sense God's love in this room.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Come on, just open up your heart right now. It's by faith. Faith opens up, it's like a door. You open up your heart with faith. And I just share your faith to God. Say, God, I want to receive your perfect love. I want to receive your perfect love. Just receive it. It surpasses your knowledge. Just let his love come in. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will breathe new life and new love into your people today. Overwhelm us with more of your love. Overtake us with more of your love. Consume us with more of your love. Cast out all fear, Father. Let your perfect love cast out the fear. That limited perspective that we've had, where we would be stingy, where we hide behind the walls of our own intimidations. Lord, set us free today. Give us the wealth of heaven today, that we may learn to walk boldly in this world. Hallelujah. We will walk boldly in this world. Hallelujah. We won't be afraid anymore, God. We're going to step into love. We're letting go of that hurt. Father, we know that we cannot fail, for love never fails. When we are in love, we will never fail, Father. We'll only grow. We can only mature. We can only get better with each experience, each occasion that we get to love. Holy Spirit, I pray now you'll move in this place. Come on. Take another 30 seconds. Just open up your heart right now. Wherever the fear was, just let His perfect love come in and just drive it out of you right now. Hallelujah. Let your perfect love come in. Father, we love you because you first loved us. We can love people because you first loved us. And Father, where we've been hurt, I thank you now for removing that hurt. As we always say, hurt people hurt people. But loved people love people. Know that you are loved today. God wants you to be His love letter to the earth. He wants you to be His epistle so that people can see you and say, wait a minute, I knew you. You didn't like people before. But God wants people to see you and say, wait a minute. You had an encounter with God because He is love. And I see His love through you. Hallelujah. I just want to share this last testimony. We were at Hungry for God a few years ago, actually. And there was a guy who came into our meeting. No one knew him. We didn't know who he was. He was walking up Thomas Boylan to go to Pickens Avenue. And we were in the middle of an H4G meeting. I wasn't even there. My brother was speaking that night. I came late. And he was walking up to Pickens Avenue to kill himself. And what happened was, like, this is, you know, if you know anything about our Monday nights, we were being there all night. And this is like early, about 11:30.
Early
at night. And he was walking, and on his way walking up Thomas Boyle, and he was in the street, and he was hoping that cars would hit him. He was going through major hurt, major situations in his life, and he was, what was wrong? What happened to him?
His son had died.
His son had just died. And he was up here, but his family was down south. And needed to go back, but he didn't want to go back because he had nothing to offer, he felt like. So he was like, I'm not going back down south, and I don't got any money, I don't got anything to offer my wife. So he just wanted to kill himself. Tragedy, you know, sad story. So he's walking up, and he's going up Thomas Boylan, but he said, the cars are going too slow. They won't kill me if I get hit. So his idea was, let me go to Pickens Avenue where the buses and everything are going a little faster, and when they hit me, I can die. So he's walking up, and then for some reason, he decides to turn and walk up Amboy Street, which is where the church was. So as he walks up, he looks and notices that the church is open. He's like, this is weird. What church is open at 11:30 on a Monday night? A brother of ours who was there ends up going outside the same time he's walking past. And then, you know, he just says what's up to him. The guy, you know, just says hi. They have a little conversation, and our brother invited him into the meeting. He decides to sit in for the rest of the meeting. So now it's like 12 o'clock. He stays in. Just during this half hour time, he's in the presence of God. My brother's teaching. Whatever happens, no one knows his story yet. He just, another guy who comes to sit in. Long story short, he gets up towards the end and begins to testify how he was on his way to kill himself. But this is what really moved us. He said while he was walking up, he was talking to God and was saying, God, if you are real, show yourself to me.
Jesus.
If you are real, show yourself to me. And he said the demons that was driving him to kill himself was saying, God isn't real. You can't see him. The only way you're going to see him is if you kill yourself. This is what he said the demons was telling him. The only way you can see God is if you kill yourself. So he's going to see God.
Jesus.
He sells him. Now he says, now I'm sitting here as I'm listening to everything and I'm hearing the message and I'm seeing what's happening. He gets prayed for, everything. Nobody knows who he is. People start praying for him. He says, he tells his story. And this, he said to us, when I sat down here, I said to myself, God, now I finally see you because I see you through these people.
Jesus.
He was going, he said, I need God, I want to see you. He said, when he got into the presence of believers, he was able to say to himself, God, I can finally see you now because I see you through the people. I mean, that right there, we all just broke out in tears and shouting and he's all over the floor. I mean, it touched us to such an extent to realize that God's love and God's presence was evident in our lives enough for somebody who wanted to see him, saw us, and saw him. And that's what John said, that no man has seen God at any time, but when they can see you and see your love, that is enough to open their eyes to see who he is. Hallelujah. And our brother, he was able to be blessed. I think it was you, somebody else?
No.
Oh, Paul?
Paul,
another brother, drove him to the station, gave him money. We took up an offering that night. We gave him all the offering, gave him all the money. We sent him down south with enough money to go home for his family and just be a blessing. I mean, we just blessed him and drove him to the train station. He actually was running late because if he was going to catch the train, the last train was like at 1 o'clock. So we had to drive him up to the Times Square to get the train and go down south. And so we drove him up here, gave him money. He said, you know what? He said, don't ever stop doing this. He said, don't ever stop. He said, who would have thought a church would be open at 11:30 at night? And people thought we were crazy. We didn't leave that night until 2. But was it worth it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on. And so as this brother, just like how I believe this brother's lives is radically transformed, I'm telling you, there are people in your life, in your family, in your immediate circle that's awaiting to experience the reality of God and his love. But I don't believe they'll ever see it until they're able to see him through your own life. And the Bible says, how shall all men know that you are my disciples when you have what? Love one for another. So let's enter into a deeper relationship in this love. Let's make a conscious effort. Next week, we're going to be talking about what love looks like and how we're actually going to live demonstrating this love. Because if we're going to learn to love again, we got to really learn what love looks like. We got to be able to make a conscious effort. Love is intentional. It's a choice you have to make. You can't slide your way into it. You got to make a decision to love. And I want you to make that decision today. That I'm going to choose to love, even if it's going to hurt. Even if there's some risks attached to it. I know that it comes with territory. But with God's love and his grace and his guidance over you, you'll be able to make wise decisions. You will be able to choose to enter into the correct partnerships. You will be able to make wiser choices. You made some mistakes in the past, but the Lord says, get over it. You made some mistakes, but my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is able to restore even the things that's been stolen, even the things that you lost. God will still restore you. Hallelujah. He's a God of forgiveness, a God of restoration. So when he forgives you and restores the things you've lost, but mistakes you've made, God says, now that grace that I've given you, I want you to give to others. That's when we grow into maturity in Christ. Amen? So I'm going to ask Andre to come. He's going to sing this song that I wanted to sing before. It's called The Stand. And I want us all to stand. And I want you to posture your heart and posture yourself to receive. I believe God's love is going to flow into this room. Just get ready to receive from him. Hallelujah.